Greetings in Jesus' name to each one this morning. This is Brother Ephraim again with the Fountain of Life, Daily Inspiration. Well, how are you this morning? I hope everything is fine in your life, and hope you're finding the Lord to be your all in all. This morning, I've been reading through Proverbs, and there's 31 chapters of Proverbs. And most months, or some months, have 31 days, or else they have 30, usually. So it works pretty well to do one chapter a day of Proverbs. I've been doing that for several months, cycling through the Proverbs, and it's just been a real blessing. There's so much wisdom, so much to be gained, so much to be learned in Proverbs. Yesterday, I was reading in Proverbs 28. And there's a subject that comes up time and time again through 28 and all the way through the Proverbs. It's a subject that's very vast in the Scriptures. I don't know, in fact, if there's any subject that the Scriptures teach us more on than this one. And it's a very, very important one. Of course, first of all, It is of utmost importance that we know the Lord Jesus, that we believe in Him for the salvation of our soul. Jesus Himself said in John, and I forget the reference, but He said, "This is the work that the Father would have you to do, that you would believe in Him whom He hath sent." Jesus has also had much to say about this subject. And so if we follow the Lord Jesus, if we believe in Him, we're going to believe in His Word, and we're going to believe in His teaching and walk in them. So what I'm sharing with you this morning is very much in line with the gospel as well. It has to do on the subject of money, the subject of riches. And it's a very vast subject. I'd love to do more justice to it than I will be able to this morning. Perhaps I'll follow through and speak on it some more tomorrow morning. I don't know which way the Lord will lead here, but there are about 7 verses that I got out of Proverbs 28. I'm going to go down through, talk about each verse a little bit, and then I have some points in the end. Maybe I'll just read all 7 verses off and then talk about it. Let's see how it goes here. First one is verse 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness, than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. And my mind goes right to what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And He's talking about food and clothing and the necessary things of life. Verse 8, he that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. God has ways of bringing to naught the riches of the unjust and bringing it to those that will do His work. Verse 11, the rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that has understanding searcheth him out. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. Otherwhere in Proverbs we read that, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Wow, that makes it pretty serious. And then here it just makes a statement. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. The poor might have more understanding than the rich. He might not have his mind on money. He might not have other things that come in and pervert his judgment, but he just understands what is the right way, and he searches out the rich man, and he's able to make judgment that brings the rich man to shame. And verse 16, the prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. It's talking about a prince that hates covetousness has more chance of having his days prolonged. And this is not just for princes. It can be anybody. If we hate covetousness, our days shall be prolonged. And verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. My friend, if you see a get-rich-quick scheme or a plan, some kind of get-rich-quick thing, run away from it. Don't run to it. Okay, verse 22. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. There's a verse in Timothy that states, he that will be rich... Okay, how does it say that? I didn't bring the verse up first, and I'm not quite sure where to find it. He that will be rich, something about... Anyhow, he will bring many, many troubles upon himself. I'm talking about those that want to be rich. And verse 27, yet, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. And now... Yeah, there are many, many things that can be learned here. There's many, many points of wisdom that I have yet to gain. I love studying this subject, and it bothers me that, you know, as believers, it seems like a lot of modern-day believers are very willing to follow certain subjects in Scripture that are easier to follow, but then there are some subjects that are very, very vast, very, very clear in Scripture that we just tend to be more quiet on and more making excuses and that sort of thing. And we have to watch ourselves. This is exactly the same thing the Pharisees did when they were guilty of all sorts of hypocrisy. Jesus rebuked them. He said, "Ye strain at gnats and swallow the camels." And now, straining at gnats isn't wrong. I don't expect that any of you listeners would, you know, drink your coffee in the morning and see a couple gnats in there and just not even care. You just drink them down. It doesn't matter. It's just gnats. I don't think you would be that way. So to be careful to strain out the gnats out of our drink is okay. But how ridiculous to then just swallow a camel and not even care about it. But that might be the way we are sometimes on this subject. Maybe we're very careful to do some minute details that people will notice, but then we may have covetousness in our heart and be laying up treasure for ourselves on this earth and wanting to be rich and all sorts of sinful ways in this subject of money and just look the other way. And let's not minor on majors and major on minors. But those things that are truly important in God's kingdom, let's consider them important. And those that are not as important, let's not consider them as the most important. Okay, some notes that I have yet, some things that I have learned, some things that are clearly seen in this subject of wealth. I have 7 points. Number one is, we are simply stewards of God's riches. If we see everything that we have as God's riches, and we are simply the stewards of it, that brings a lot of responsibility upon ourselves. How will we deal with the things of God? How will we serve Him with the things we have? Number two, contentment is a wonderful virtue. Paul taught us in the Holy Scriptures, if ye have food and raiment, be therewith content. In other words, if we just have enough food to eat today, if we have enough food to eat today and we have clothing to wear, we should be content. Yet how many people have much more and contentment seems to be nowhere in sight? It's a shame. Point number three, there are many blessings that we have more chance at if our level of riches is low. And I didn't make that up. That's in Scripture. That's all the way through. The rich men will worry, and there's many things that the poor are blessed with. Maybe we can sleep better at night. Maybe we can take a day off work easier and go do something for God, and just many, many things that we are not bound up in if our level of riches is low. You know, I've been working lately here for a man that has a $5 million house. He's actually just in the process of renovating a dairy barn into a house, an old historic barn. And this man is going to have a dwelling place that's worth $5 million just in the buildings without the land. This is down towards Philadelphia. But, you know, I hope that Christians don't look up to such a man and envy him. I don't think there's anything to be envied. This man has many, many, many worries that you and I hopefully don't have. And the words that Jesus has spoken against the rich, why would we covet to be rich? I'd better move on here. Number four, this is a scripture in Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we could interject there, instead of might or power, we could put money there. Money is power in this world. People that have money have power. But it's not by that. It's not by that that we serve the Lord or that we build his kingdom. It's by the Spirit of God. And God can do many, many wonderful miracles for those that walk in the Spirit and are not trusting in money. Number five, God isn't limited by lack of finances. I think that's maybe somewhat a repeat of number four there. Number six, as Christians, we should see riches simply as a means to lay up treasure in heaven. And number seven, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And many, many people that come by great riches do it to the damage of their name. They do it in ways of being shrewd and being crooked and taking advantage of people. But they do it for the sake of being rich. Let's pursue, as Christians, let's pursue to have a good name in Christ, that we not reproach his name, but that his name might be glorified, and that God would be glorified in all things. That must be our desire. Well, God bless you today. 099, we'll leave a message. We'd be glad to hear from you. Again, I hope you have a wonderful day.